As was announced, the scripture reading is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 21. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead, and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God.
The freedom we have in Christ Jesus is a wonderful thing. We're here today because God, for Christ's sakes, gave his Son. His Son came and gave his life. We are purified through the blood of Christ. And in that, when we believe God's word by faith, we repent of our sins, confess Christ, and are baptized, his blood cleanses us from all sin. Had it not been for the cross where Jesus died, we would not have that freedom. God planned that we could have forgiveness of sins. So in Peter, he talks about the importance of living a life in appreciation and obedience to God, because we've been purified, we've been cleansed, we've been saved through the blood of Christ because of what Christ did on the cross for our sins. So the cross is very important. This Tuesday, the Lord's willing, marked on our calendars is July 4th. And of course, that's March's Independence Day in the United States of America, and the flags are flying high in Coleman County and many places and throughout this land and other areas around the world. And so the flag represents freedom to the United States, to the people who really love this country. For the people who realize what this country is and its values, the flag represents something very valuable, our freedom. And then the cross is even more valuable, because it is the most valuable thing in that the blood was shed on the cross of Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, the sinless sacrifice, that we could have freedom from sin. The greatest enemy man can ever have is sin, Satan and sin. That pulls us away from God. And so this morning I'll take a few minutes and consider the freedom we have in the United States and what the flag should mean to us as an American citizen, and then talk about the more important, the most important symbol, that is the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for our sins, because of what Christ did on the cross, his death and shedding his blood, that we can be free from sin. Let's talk about that this morning for a little bit. The United States flag was adopted as Stars and Stripes on June 14, 1777, a day that would become designated as Flag Day. We had Flag Day a few weeks ago, and in school, I'm sure you've been studying about this, and maybe not in public school, but probably in private setting and homeschool, but hopefully there's a little bit of it still bleeds into the school system. But anyway, the flag was first used in battle on September 11, 1777, during the Battle of Brandywine. And if we think about being an American, we ought to appreciate what was done by our forefathers who shed their blood, who fought so we could have freedom as we have it in this nation. It's a wonderful thing. The American flag was first saluted by foreign vessels on February 14, 1778, when the Ranger, bearing the Stars and Stripes under the command of Captain Paul Jones, arrived in the French port. And so the flag means a lot to the citizens of the United States, and it's been respected around the world for many years by many countries and other nationalities. Some hate it, some are against it, because they want control. They want to control people's activities. They don't want people to have the freedom to worship God without fear of outside forces. They want control, but the flag represents freedom. The flag flew over a foreign territory in early 1778 at Nassau, Bahama Islands, where Americans captured a British fort. So if you haven't read about the history of the flag, and there's much that goes along with this, I just took some of the quick shot points that we could put on this morning to draw the illustration of how grateful we should be for living in the greatest nation of freedom that's ever been and known to man on this earth as far as a country. The colors of the United States American flag: white signifies purity and innocence, red signifies hardness, strength, and valor. Blue, the color of the chief, the broad band above the stripe signifies vigilance, perseverance, and justice. Think about that. Christ came to this earth. He was vigilant in suffering in every way, in devoting his life to obeying God, to do God's will. He suffered, he persevered, he brought justice for mankind over sin. The flag represents those things as far as the freedom of our country. The 50 stars represent the 50 states. The 13 stripes represent the original 13 British colonies that declared independence from Great Britain. The flag of the United States, known as Old Glory, consists of 13 horizontal red and white stripes and 50 white stripes. The current flag was adopted on July 4, 1960. And so, as a nation, some things have changed. The design of the flag has changed a little bit. Different things have been used, but we can see it still stands for freedom for us. The flag is a strong symbol of American identity and national pride. The stars are a symbol of the heavens and the goals to which mankind aspires. Think about that. We live in a good nation. Think about what we're aspiring for. Freedom in this nation to be able to move freely and worship God, to teach His word freely to our children and to others without oppression from other places. Blood and sacrifice was the price that was paid by many people who fought and died for freedom. American flag, to those who truly believe in America and appreciate what we have here, the flag represents freedom from oppression, freedom from evil, freedom from tyrants and dictators. Represents a lot to us. It means a lot. American flag represents the opportunity to live and move in an environment with the chance of a good and even better life while on this earth. It's important. American flag gives assurance and hope. It gives hope for safety from harsh and unreasonable treatment and the hope of continued safety. Do we think about the freedom we have? Are we thankful for our nation? I appreciate Barry and others who remember our nation and pray for our leaders, that they'd be God-fearing men and women that would enact God's laws and appreciate and obey those laws and the laws that are made and enforced, that we might continue to have these freedoms. Are we thankful for that? Well, the flag and what it symbolizes to American citizens is very important. It represents the freedom, the sacrifice, what it costs that we have this freedom today. But more important is the cross of Christ, the most important symbol that we could ever think about. The cross where Jesus died, where he shed his blood for our sins. We're thankful for our blessings as a nation, but those blessings that we have as a United States citizen don't even compare in any way, shape, form, or fashion to the blessings we have in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who paid the ultimate sacrifice for not just his own people, but for everyone on the face of this earth. Great, small, rich or poor, whatever race, whatever stature in life, he died for our sins. The greatest freedom of all, the greatest blessings that come to us is through God and his Son, Jesus. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice. So this morning, we're thankful for our freedom, as we ought to be in this nation. We should be thankful for the flag and what it stands for, and we should stand up and want to be those who would care about the freedom we have and pass it on to our children. But most of all, the freedom we have in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the cross of Calvary. So I've already said that as important as our flag is, the cross where Jesus died signifies the greatest sacrifice that His precious blood allows us to have the greatest blessing of all, the forgiveness of sin. And there's not anyone who lives who reaches the age of accountability that does not need the blood of Christ. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23, Christ died for our sins, and it is running red in our Bible reading, we are purified by the blood of Christ. So let's remember what He did suffering for us, and what His sacrifice on the cross, the shedding of His blood, means to us as Christians. It means freedom from sin. It means the hope and assurance of heaven. Well, the death of Jesus on the cross was first made known in the Garden of Eden. And the Bible reading that Ronnie read this morning in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, we see that even before time, even in God in His mind had an idea and knew that there would be something done for man, for the sins of man. And so it was made known to man in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, when the woman and the man committed the first sin, ate of the forbidden fruit, they disobeyed God, and God told the serpent, the devil, what was going to happen. He prophesied about the death on the cross. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, He says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And so we see that God put in place and made known to man that there's going to be something done for man about sin, so that we can have freedom from sin, so that we'll be able to have an avenue to be able to get to God, to have forgiveness of our sins. If you turn over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, these verses we sometimes read before the Lord's Supper, and sometimes we read them in other times of our services. But in Isaiah chapter 53 there, the Old Testament, not only in Isaiah, but other places throughout the Old Testament, and the death of Jesus Christ was prophesied numerous times. And so here in Isaiah chapter 53, specifically verses 6 through 12, I want you to notice, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? And he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of the soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." You see there, God planned and prophesied that there would be a Savior, Jesus Christ, who would bear our iniquities on the cross by the shedding of his blood. Verse 12, "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the greatest, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many and many, and made intercession for the transgressors." So the greatest blessing we have is in the cross and the blood of Christ that was shed on that cross, because he died for our sins. He died that we might be able to be forgiven of iniquity, that our sins might be washed away. So let's take just a few minutes now, 10 or 15 minutes, and talk about the cross of Christ, the blood that was shed on it, and what it should remind us of, as we are reminded every day of the death of Christ, his suffering, and what he did for us. But the cross of Christ should remind us about the blood and sacrifice of Jesus. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 19, and let's look at just a few verses in this Gospel. John chapter 19, beginning in verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be filled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on hyssop and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was the preparation day that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came forth. And he who has seen his testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. John is telling what happened to Jesus on the cross. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken. And again, another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. So Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed on the cross, should remind us of the sacrifice that Christ made for us and the importance of his cleansing blood for our sins. The cross of Christ, Calvary, should remind us that freedom from sin is made possible through Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 5, if you will, please. And we may not read all these verses, but I at least want to look at some of them this morning. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Think about that. What God did for us. Freedom from sin through Jesus and his death. Look at verse 15 of Romans 5. But the free gift is not like the offense. For by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Let's go down to verse 18. Therefore, as though one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, that is Jesus Christ, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us be thankful for the cross of Christ and what it should be to us, what it represents, and be reminded of what his blood did for us. It should remind us of the greatest opportunity that has ever been offered. The greatest opportunity. That is to have our sins forgiven and have the privilege to be a member of the family of God and to live and serve in the family of God. Acts 2:36-47 shows when we're baptized that the Lord adds us to the family of God. We are allowed to do that and permitted to do that and enabled to do that by the fact that Christ shed his blood. Acts 20:28, Christ shed his blood, his precious blood, for the church. He died for us. He died to save sinners. And he adds us to the church, his body, that belongs to God. So we're in the family of God. the cross of Christ should remind us of this great opportunity that's ever been allowed for man through God and His Son. Sometimes we hear the statement, you know, we live in the greatest nation on earth. Back years ago, some of you may can remember it, but before my family even had a TV set, we had a little radio, and my daddy would, he'd turn it on every night when we got through working in the fields to take care of the livestock. We'd sit down to eat, and oftentimes it would be after dark. We'd be sitting down to eat a meal before we went to bed. He would always turn, he'd always turn that radio on. It was an AM station on the Mighty 690, WVOK, Bessemer, Alabama. And they'd be signing off at sundown, and they'd say, what a privilege to live on the American flag in the greatest nation on earth. And I'm going to tell you, that's a privilege. But the greatest privilege, the greatest blessing, is living at the foot of the cross, living in the blood of Christ through what it has done and does for us, the forgiveness of sin. The cross of Calvary should remind us of the hope and assurance we have by Jesus Christ through His death, His burial, and His resurrection. We won't get into 1 Corinthians 15 this morning because most of you have read that yourself. You've studied about it in Bible class. You've heard it preached in sermons. And you've probably heard it read at the graveside at funerals. How that God gave His Son. And His Son gave His life and shed His blood. And that in Christ we have hope. Because if this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. But we have hope and assurance of the resurrection and of life eternal. Why? Because God sent His Son who shed His blood that we can be forgiven. And His Son died and rose again the third day and went into heaven. We too will be resurrected. What a blessing we have in the cross of Calvary. I need to be reminded what the flag means and appreciate it. I always certainly need to be even more reminded about the cross of Calvary and the blood that was shed on it for me and for everyone, and be thankful for the blessings that I have in Christ. Thankful for the freedom as an American citizen because God provides that and allowed that to happen. But most of all, may we always be thankful for what God has done for us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the excellent, perfect example that Christ left by the way He lived, that we can follow in His steps and know that heaven will be our home. Let us be thankful for our freedom and most of all, the freedom from sin. Hope the lesson will encourage us to appreciate who we are and who we have become because of what God did for us through Jesus Christ. If you're subject to the invitation and you'd like to be baptized this morning, we can help you with that. You'll repent of your sins, confess Christ,